art, culture, politics, activism. Now, art in the pandemic age. Have you ever wondered why artists do what they do? What is their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? I'm your host, Kyle Roman. Welcome to Artivism Now. Artivism, defined, is a portmanteau word combining art and activism. How is it that artists push the boundary of their medium? How do they move societies forward? How do they resolve issues in their neighborhoods, both local and worldwide? These questions are what we set out to answer by interviewing artists locally and the world over. We will get answers to those questions that artists put out there in the community.
On today's episode of Artivism Now, we welcome painter Rochelle Clark.
All right, we are here with Rochelle Clark. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you on the program today. A lot of interesting work to get to and conversations to have. If you don't mind, for the audience up front, maybe give us your mission and vision as an artist, and maybe talk about what your main medium is.
So my name is Rochelle Clark. My business is called Rochelle Creative, and I work predominantly with oil paints and illustration. And my work centralizes the free expression of women of color. And I'm really passionate about art therapy and teaching healing through painting. I think I answered your question.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And in terms of your main medium of painting, you also are able to, you also do commissions, and you also print your own work as well. Maybe for just a little bit, talk about that kind of that entrepreneur side, how you approach getting your work out there and allowing yourself to make a living as an artist.
Yeah, definitely. So every so often I open up my custom commissions where I'll work on a lot of family-based work, a lot of family paintings and stuff. But predominantly the bulk of my work is theme-based. So I'll pick a theme that I'm passionate about and create in response to that theme, and then I will print it and sell it online, sometimes adapt it, rework it, and just keep exploring the theme. I really love working from themes. I think they just have so much meaning, and people often connect with that work a lot more. But aside from that, I do custom work as well, and I do a little bit of design here and there as well. So sometimes I'll, like, if there's a brand that is in alignment with mine, I'll help them with the design aspects of their branding. I did the branding and packaging for a company called Butterbox, and they source completely natural, non-toxic, sustainable health and beauty products specifically for Black women, specifically designed for the different, you know, skin types and stuff like that, which I thought was really great. So I ended up doing their packaging and branding as well. So yeah, I do a lot.
Yeah, sounds like it. Those are all wonderful ways for artists to get their work out there and be able to make a living as a creative.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find Rochelle on Instagram at Rochelle Creative. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there's also a link tree there in her bio where you can explore all of the different options for viewing work and also purchasing and commissioning work from yes. Rochelle. So it's at Rochelle Creative on Instagram. Wonderful. So and in terms of what is it that that is the central driving force to your work, what seems to be themes of the experiences of people of color. And so one of your, or one of your current themes, at least as it stands on Instagram, is fascinating in not only the color shades and tones that are chosen, but also the aspect of the facelessness of the figures. Mm-hmm. Maybe go into that for us. What is the function of the choice, the artist's choice of the facelessness of the figures, and then also the color tones as well?
So the color tones actually started out in response to the skin tones that I paint a lot of the time. So more often than not, there'll be like earthy, nude type tones, a lot of browns, a lot of beige, often colors that will complement the skin tones that I'm painting. And sometimes I'll actually choose the undertones of the skin. I hope this makes sense. Sometimes I'll choose the undertones from the skin that I'm painting and have that as the background, and then texturized as well, just to add another element to it. But yeah, they're all quite earthy tones, but they're there predominantly to complement the skin tones that I'm painting more often. And with the facelessness, I think, for the most part, I just wanted my work to reach as many people as possible. And so I just thought that it would be a lot easier for people to relate to the work and for people to envision it in their home if there wasn't a specific face on the artwork. So they could see a piece and be like, oh, that looks like me, without it having to actually look like them, because there's not the details of the face. So yeah, that's why the facelessness.
It's an amazing choice to have made. I definitely got some of the intent from my first viewing of the work as well. And my first viewing was on the Rochelle Creative Instagram. There is that ability for it to be kind of like a, I don't know if I want to necessarily say beauty inclusion, or just a way of including people in the work and finding themselves within it, which I think is a fantastic approach for an artist to have, for viewers to be able to find themselves in the work. And your Instagram bio, you describe yourself as centralizing women of color, sisterhood, and self-care. And you do mention art as therapy as well. Maybe talk about, as a woman of color, in the artist field, how important is it, to utilize the tool of art as therapy, considering all of the trauma that's out there, both intergenerationally and current trauma for people of color? How important is it to have art as a tool of therapy?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, and this is one of the reasons I've been so passionate about it, it is because it has helped me in so many ways. In so many ways, there have been stories that I've been able to tell through paintings, and you know, I've been able to express trauma through paintings, and even just learning the practice of intuitive painting has been such a blessing for me, because it's that added element of mindfulness and switching off and just focusing in on like your body and being present, and then, you know, translating that into paint. That's just, it's been really crucial in my life. And so that's why I've wanted to share it. And I find that it's just another positive outlet for people. You know, there's no harm that can come from putting your emotions into a painting, and being able to share that and being able to create work that people relate to is just, yeah, it's been great.
That's fabulous.
Mm.
And again, you could see the work on Rochelle Creative on Instagram, and click on the link tree in the bio as well. There's a way to commission the work. There's also other projects that Rochelle is engaged in that you can find information on. And now, being that the your work, at least that we can find on Instagram here, is centered on the issues of, or centered on, in terms of the subjects of the pieces, women of color. What is it particularly right now that women of color are experiencing within greater society? As everybody knows, you're in, or actually, maybe we didn't say that, you're in London, I'm here in the US. However, there are issues and traumas that women of color are going through in, we can call it, Western society, that align in both countries. What are things that women of color are experiencing in England that maybe are akin to what women of color are experiencing in the US?
To be honest, I think especially in the UK, our issues here are similar to those that you know of in the USA as well. And for me, I will always say, well, I hope to not always be saying this, but at the minute, I do believe that the Black women is the most unprotected women, from, you know, prejudice, from sexual assault, from, you know, the way they're treated in labor, in birth, in pregnancy is really shocking. that's just some of them, and here is no different to the US, but also, you know, globally, it's a global issue. And I've just always thought that it's really important for me to also like share the trauma, so that people can learn, but to also show the other side of it. So one of the reasons that my work initially was so centralized on women of color was because I studied art for like 7 years. I did a diploma and then I did a degree and all this extracurriculum stuff. And the whole time I was studying, I kid you not, I was not given a Black artist to research. I never seen any women of color in work that I was looking at. And for a young girl growing up and developing, and, you know, it was really like disheartening for me to be so in love with art, but to not be able to relate to any of the art. And so that was one of the reasons that this style of work all came about. But I didn't want to be constantly creating in response to trauma and to be constantly sharing trauma, because it just turns into this endless cycle of trauma. And so it was really important for me to create work to show the other side of that, and to create work for healing, and to show like Black women in just in their essence, in their element, not in a negative light, which is something I didn't see enough growing up. So yeah, I hope I've answered your question. I think I digressed a bit.
that's wonderful, actually. It's something that comes up a lot on this program, the thin line that artists have to walk to not let, you know, the full extent of the trauma that they or the community they're trying to depict experience affect them as well as personally as an artist. And that's actually a really cool thing about the work that you have most recently. First off, is there a name for your theme of the figures, the facelessness aspect?
No, there isn't a specific name for it at the minute, I think, because that's just become my style.
Oh, yeah.
So, there isn't a name for that at the moment.
Well, what I love about it is you're highlighting the joy in a lot of those images. At least that's what it seems like. For me, joy, I see solidarity, I see love, peace, and when I'm viewing those, I'm not necessarily, you know, focused on the traumatic nature in which a population, people of color, would necessarily have gone through, in terms of like the choice of kind of injecting that joy and peace in your work. You know, what led you to deciding on that?
Definitely. And it's just, as I said, I just wanted to tell a different story from the ones that we're repeatedly told. I wanted to show Black women in a positive light and give them, you know, work that they could relate to that wasn't so like surrounded by trauma. Because of course there is a lot of trauma, but that isn't all that we are. That isn't all that we've been, and that isn't our only history, you know. I just wanted to tell a different story, and I wanted to create work that was uplifting and would bring healing and happiness to people's homes, and like, you know, still tell a important story at the same time. So yeah.
I love it. It's
thank you.
it's on Rochelle Creative on Instagram. It's you will, in viewing the work, you will definitely get a sense of peace, still solidarity, love, and also, I hate to be the shameless plugger, but it looks great in living room decor, and like you know, like this isn't like the type of work that you know, it's multi-use, right? It's both great digital art, it's amazing framed up, and you even have in your feed, you also have a pillow that you made from your art. So in terms of interior decor, right, there's just this really cool, this nice vibe to it that really does kind of say, artist of color, woman of color, designer, all of this work can be a part of our lives. It doesn't necessarily have to be this kind of thing that's only leads itself to one purpose, right? Is that something that maybe you thought of, that you, like a goal you had for your work?
Yeah, definitely. You wanted it? Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Especially with, as you mentioned earlier, the colors that I use, one of the things with choosing neutral colors, it's that, you know, anyone can buy it and enjoy it, because you can place it anywhere. So that definitely was an intention. And then with creating pillows as well, it was about making again, making the work more accessible, because, you know, not everyone can afford to buy big canvas paintings because art can be pricey.
Yeah. And as well, so, it should be.
Yeah. But yeah, so with the cushions and I make tote bags as well. It was just me trying to make this work more accessible and so that more people could enjoy it and appreciate it. So yeah.
And you a little bit ago you alluded to representation, right? And mm-hmm. and finding representation as a child mm-hmm. to you was important, and that that's something that you're definitely providing through your work. How important mm-hmm. is it for to have that representation in the art world from all sides, whether it's generating internet content or all the way to the other extreme of in-person medium of gallery and showings and whatnot?
It's hugely important. I think people often don't realize how important positive imagery is, and all the ways that we take it in as well. I think when you're constantly shown one thing, you begin to think that you can't be that, if that makes sense. If you're constantly shown one people in the media, in the TV, in art, in books, in all these different industries, you will then begin to think that, oh, you can't reach that because you're not that, you know? Yeah. And so it's hugely important to see representation in all industries, not just the art industry. That's another reason why I've been pushing and centralizing women of color, is because I didn't see it myself. And for a long time, I thought, oh, is there not any Black artists? Is there not a community of Black artists? Do Black people not make art? You know, which is so ridiculous. But when you don't know any different, what are you supposed to think, you know? Thankfully, once I did start making this work, I was then introduced to a huge community of artists of color that are making incredible art. And I'm like, it's mind blowing, but yet still they're not really represented in the mainstream. Right. They're not really represented in, like, if the media covers artists, or, you know, and they're not really given all of the big jobs. They're not paid as much as other artists as well. So it's still very much an issue, but yeah, we have to just keep going, keep making noise, and hopefully eventually the bridge will be the gap will be bridged.
I definitely hear that, and hopefully I can lift up those words and make good on it. And that's definitely a mission of what we do here at Artivism Now, is to support all people of color, artists of all types, you know, from Asian American artists and Black artists and Latinx artists. And use this platform to elevate those words and those that work. And again, it's Rochelle Creative on Instagram. There's a link tree there to find all the work and all the projects. Is there anywhere else that we can go to find work, or is it in terms of
everything is in my link tree, but I do also have an Etsy shop that isn't there if anyone shops on Etsy. But my website is www.rochellecreative.co.uk, so quite simple. everything is in my link tree. Yeah,
that's absolutely wonderful. What's it, could you give us maybe a preview of what's next? Are you planning, like, maybe a new project, a new theme coming about to you? What can you hint us about?
Actually, I'm working on a project at the minute called My Sister's Keeper. And it's basically an exploration of self-acceptance through the lens of sisterhood. So I'm just going to be exploring what sisterhood means to me, what it is meant to others, and what it means now in this community, but also what it meant before and what we're doing for each other, you know. And I'm going to be creating in response to that exploration. And then I'm also going to be delivering painting classes to young girls based on the same theme. So we'll be exploring it together and creating paintings in response to the theme, and then teaching them all these different techniques and guiding them through that. So yeah, that's what's coming up.
Fabulous. More work is always good, and especially work in the way that you are doing it. In terms of centralizing women of color is just fascinating, and it's what is needed right now in the art world. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
yeah, no worries. You had talked about it earlier about that you had gone to art school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so let's maybe get into the transition from art school to professional artist, artist making a living as an artist.
Yeah.
Many people who listen to the program are art students or prospective art students. You know, what is it that you could tell them about that transition from art school to professional life?
Well, I'm not sure what the curriculum is like in the US, but here, as I said, it was a lot of research-based projects, and then creating in response to research, and just using a variety of artists to develop your style. For me personally, though, as I mentioned earlier, I wasn't given much work that I could relate to. And so I don't think I developed my style until 3 years after I left university. So but it's great for developing skills in portraits and in all these other kind of techniques that you can develop. It's great in that sense, and it's definitely good to have those techniques, and like color theory and sketching and, you know, drawing perspective and all those kinds of things. It is great to have, but I definitely think in terms of developing your own style, you have to look a bit deeper sometimes, because I think, especially over here anyway, when it comes to the artists that you're given to research, you're very often given the same people, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's where the representation talk that we just had kind of, that's definitely something that is a continuing issue in what we teach in art schools and in the secondary education, as well as college and university. How is it that we meaning me as an educator, as I never talk about myself, but I am an arts educator, but we are the people that need to figure out how to represent more people of color within the work that we choose to teach from. Thanks for bringing that up, because that is a major issue in how we educate our artists, is encouraging that representation. How about maybe just some, I know it's kind of cliche, but like, what type of advice would you give to maybe someone graduating art school, transitioning to life as an artist? What could you tell them that maybe you would have liked to have heard yourself?
I think most importantly is that there's space for everyone, and that everyone has a unique voice. And I think if you base your style on what's important to you and what you're passionate about, then no matter what, you will reach somebody and somebody will be able to relate to it. And I think more than anything, more important than talent, than skill is authenticity and is the why. You know, people will buy into your why if they can relate to the story that you're telling, and the meaning behind your work is more important than the work itself more often. So I think it's really important to consider these things when you go into creating your work. So yeah, that's
fabulous.
Thank you.
I love that because it's more you know, it's encouragement to artists to put yourself at the core of your work sometimes, you know. You know, it, oftentimes people will buy the person before they'll buy the work.
And I
totally agree with that approach. We've had another artist on this program as well who kind of said something similar. In that you're, if you put all of who you are into that piece of work, then someone's going to be willing to buy it. And if you put who you are into that work, someone's probably not going to want to buy it.
No, it's true. It's kind of like how we all sometimes will sit and watch like reality TV and YouTubers and stuff like that. And it's just because like, people want relatability, you know, and it's the same in art. You know, if you're telling a story that's personal and that's, you know, if you're revealing part of yourself in that work, people will buy it because they will relate to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you once again for joining us today and all the way from London. And I know it's difficult to match up sometimes, but thanks for carving out the time for us here. And love to have you back on again one of these days.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I've loved talking this through. So thank
you. Absolutely. And there will be definitely more to talk about when the new projects start hitting. So we'd love to update the audience.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love that. Whenever you're free, I will make myself available.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for stopping by, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Rochelle Clark for joining us on this episode of Artivism Now. You can catch her work, paintings and all, on Instagram at Rochelle Creative. Links to purchase prints and original paintings exist on that platform. And remember, artists out there, keep it lit, let it flow, let it mean something, and goodbye.